Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home.
There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation, Jesus. There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is a kingdom that forever reigns. There is freedom from the chains that bind us, Jesus, Jesus, who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me. He roars like a lion, he bled as a lamb, he carries my healing in his hand, Jesus. There is a name calling times of trouble. There is a song that comforts in the night. There is a voice that calms the storm that rages. Jesus, Jesus, who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me. He roars like a lion, he bled as a lamb, he carries my healing in his hand, Jesus. Messiah, my Savior, there is power in your name. You're my
Let me thank you, first of all, for joining us here for our time in the Word and in worship. This is Pastor Jesse Wagoner. I'm the senior pastor here at Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you want to get to know anything more about this ministry, we invite you to visit our website. It's simply calvarywv.com. You can find everything you want to know right there, how to contact us, how to let us know that you're listening. You can plug into the current teaching series. You can get back episodes. You can subscribe to our podcast. You can watch videos. There's more material there than I can recount for you, but we'd encourage you to join with us in connecting via our website. In just a few moments, we're going to come back, and I'm going to share a message with you from Ephesians chapter 2 about the masterpiece, the masterpiece that you indeed are. We all are in Christ. So I'm looking forward to that. We're going to take just a brief break in just a moment, and I'll come back for that message. But also I want to thank our praise team that leads us in worship each Sunday morning, and obviously during our live services at our church, during our contemporary service. And I just appreciate them. They work so hard to be able to lead us in worship. So I want to just thank all of them for their efforts. And I also want to thank the tremendous staff that we have at Mount Calvary that makes my life easier, makes ministry so efficient and so effective. They're a great group of people. There's 8 of us on staff here, and I get to lead this team, and I'm just really blessed to work with them. So just a shout out to the team that I get to work with here at Mount Calvary. But once again, thank you so much for joining us for this time, this broadcast. I hope it's a blessing to you. And again, we'd love to hear from you. So have a great day. I'll be back in just a few moments.
We are all looking for a place to feel at home. Pastor Jesse Wagoner and the congregation of Mount Calvary Baptist are ready to welcome you because when you're here, you're home. With their warm, welcoming environment, you will feel right at home as you experience the life-changing power of Christ. Mount Calvary is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia, at the Westmoreland exit, half mile north of the I-64, I-77 split. To learn more, visit calvarywv.com.
Today I want to take you and take all of us into the Word of God as we look at a wonderful 3-verse section of Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. We're going to be blessed by that. Today we're going to talk about that you are a masterpiece of grace. Now, I know many of us are going to say immediately, at least think in our minds, I don't feel very much like a masterpiece. I don't feel like I'm that special. The world tells me, my own mind tells me, my experience tells me, what I hear from others, pushes me in a different direction. But indeed, God says something different about you. In some ways, this is a continuation, obviously, as it flows through the text of Scripture. It is a continuation of what we talked about last time, where we talked about the story of us, the story of you, of what God is doing. And let me just take a moment to rehearse that and review that. You can go back and watch that video if you've missed it. But it is simply this, that we have this opportunity before God to understand the story according to Him. We were dead, we were disobedient, we were depraved, we were doomed, we had all these things, and it begins in this chapter with, we were dead in trespasses and sins. But then the verses, you go through the first few verses of Ephesians 1, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy with His great love with which He loved us, has raised us up together with Christ and then seated us in the heavenly places, and we're going to display His glory for all eternity. And now we come back to this reality of how this actually works. What is the means and the process and so forth that God does to bring us from that point of lostness to this masterpiece condition we are in as those who have been saved by His grace? Now, some years ago, I was in the studio of a master potter, and this gentleman is excellent at it. His works are sold at Tamarack and very high-end, artsy kind of places. But I had the opportunity to visit his studio and watch him. And you think about it. As we look at it, you just see water and clay, mud, dirt, if you will, spinning around on a wheel. And we say, what a mess. I wouldn't want to get my hands in there. But then the master potter begins to form it and shape it. That's really what God is doing with us. He's taking the mess and the clay, we who were made of the dust of the earth, and in Christ, and that's the pattern, remolding us into this work. And every one of those pieces of pottery, and we have a few of those pieces in our home that we enjoy, but everyone is unique. Yeah, they're similar to the different pieces. It might have a similar, if it's a vase or a pitcher or a lamp, it's similar to the other ones, but everyone is unique because it's had the special individual touch, not mass-produced, but the individual touch. And the glory and the amazing focus of attention goes on this artist that can do this. It's not the clay, it's the artist and the end product. Well, we're going to put the focus on the artist today, the master craftsman, and see the masterpiece that are us. Let's look at these verses. Let me just read them for you. First of all, if you have a Bible, please follow along. Ephesians 2, beginning verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Well, first of all, in order to see yourself as you truly are in Christ, we need to align yourself with His definition of you. And this is His definition of you, the completion of that definition. We need to align ourselves with it. It is true. It is unchanging. The question is, are we in our thinking and our mind and our hearts going to align with it? If you've ever had this experience, and I'm not going to tell you whether I have or I haven't, you can figure it out. Have you ever made a mistake and turned the wrong way on a one-way street? You know, there's that brief moment. You think it's the right thing to do. You're between the lines. You're driving safely. Car is going at a good speed. And then suddenly you realize, even though I'm going the right, you know, going the right way, driving the car the right way, I'm actually going the wrong way. I'm not aligned with the way it is. Sometimes we're driving through life, but we just haven't aligned our thinking with what he says about us. So let's align our thinking. And this is going to help us to see ourselves truly as the masterpiece that God says we are. Well, first of all, there's four little steps that's going to help us align ourselves with this. And this is going to plug right into the text. We're going to take these steps and plug them into the text. And this is going to help us with this alignment of who we are. First of all, thank him for his grace. He begins with these words, "For by grace you have been saved." We've talked a lot about grace, even in the study of this book. But this is a flowing theme, a theme that flows through all of the scriptures. Grace is what God does for us, which we do not deserve. Grace is what he just chooses. His goodness, his help just comes to bear. We haven't earned it, and we'll see that very clearly later in this passage. But he just gives it to us. It's by grace. It's all on him. Remember, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We couldn't do anything to remedy our situation. We were lost as lost could be. But God steps in and he gives us grace. It's all about his grace. Now, encompassed in that grace is the story of Jesus. The story of we being sinners and Jesus coming to be our Savior. It is a story of him coming and living a sinless life among us, fulfilling all of the law, which none of us have ever come close to doing. He also comes to die as the Lamb of God. He sacrifices his life on the cross, which pays sin's penalty. We are told in Romans that it is this salvation comes from the gift of God, which is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. We were dead, we were lost, the wages of sin is death, but he paid those wages, but the gift of God is this eternal life that he gives us. That's all grace. He rose again the third day, he ascended into heaven, he seated at the right hand of God, proving and validating all of this to be true. That indeed he really is the Savior, the one you can trust. And it's all that he has done for us. It's all on him. It's all in the hands and to the glory and the credit of the master craftsman that he can take lumps of clay like us, messy and dirty, and make us into something beautiful. So what should we do? We should thank him. We need to thank him for that. I encourage you, if you need to, you can even pause the video for just a few seconds and say, "Lord, thank you." You can do it in the privacy of your own heart. You can speak it out loud if you like. But Lord, thank you for saving this lump of clay. Thank you for giving me your grace. Thank you for giving me Jesus. And let me encourage you that we remain thankful. We're told in 1 Thessalonians that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And one of the components of that giving thanks is for our salvation. Thank you for his grace. You see, this is the cause of our salvation. This is what begins it all, what caused it to come to pass for us. So Jesus came, he died, he gave us his grace, and that is what brings us into this place of salvation. Friends, give him thanks. As we discipline ourselves to give thanks for his grace and for our eternal salvation, what's it do? It starts to align our thinking so that we see ourselves not as junk, not as marginalized, not as victims, not as entitled, but we see ourselves as a masterpiece of his grace. You're his treasure. You're what's going to be in that, as we looked at last week, that display case of his grace and his glory for all eternity. Thank him. Secondly, we need to believe. Believe in salvation. Go back to our text. For by grace you've been saved through faith. This is the means by which this grace is applied to us, through faith. We need to believe that. And most of us, I would assume, watching this video, have believed previously in the Lord Jesus. Most of the people that gather for worship are already God's children. But perhaps this is an open question for you. Perhaps you haven't come to him. Perhaps you don't have that assurance of eternal life in Christ Jesus. For all of us, it's all about belief. It's all about faith. Now, faith is not a work. It's not like, if I could just work up enough faith, if I can just somehow, you know, pump the pump of faith and just sort of inflate my faith somehow from my own efforts. No, even the weakest of faith, just say, "Lord, save me." You know, there's a prayer in the Bible. It's in the gospel story where Jesus is walking on the water, and Peter says, Lord, if you invite me, I'll come walking on the water. And he gets out of the boat. Jesus does that. He comes walking until Peter sees the waves, and he starts to sink. Shortest prayer you can find in the Bible. Lord, save me. And Jesus reaches out his hand and saves him from drowning. That shortest prayer should be one that all of us have spoken in some form and fashion. And it can be just as brief as that. Lord, save me. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus through faith, you believe that his grace is there, and you trust in that, you are gloriously saved. If you need help with that, we would be very, very ready to help you. Just contact us by means of whatever social media or wherever you're listening, whether you're listening, those of you that listen on the radio or watch us online, we want to help you. We want to encourage you. The website address for that, to make a contact so we can help you, is this, calvarywv.com/talk, just to talk to one of us as a pastor. And we would be glad to help you in any way that we can, because we want you to believe. For us who know Christ, we need to grow in our belief. We're told in Romans that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to grow in your faith? You be a student of God's Word. You just and you've done a good thing to join with us today. But join with other believers. Join in, if it's an online study or an in-person study, or your spouse or with your children or your parents. Gather, spend time in this Word. You don't know where to start, just start. Just start. I would encourage you, if you're a new at it or a new believer, start by reading the Gospel of John, because it's all about, and he says in the book, these were written that you may believe. It's designed to call us to a place of deeper belief. So you want to be a person that's growing in your belief? If you want to be believing in this salvation and finding confidence in it, you need to spend time in God's Word. We call it get alone with God every day. And visit our website. You'll find a link there about how you can just get in God's Word daily in a very easy, practical way. So we encourage you to take advantage of that. So believe in the salvation. So the cause of salvation is grace. The means of salvation received is just we believe it, we accept it. But also, we see something else about it. Look back in the text, if you will. For by grace you've been saved by faith, and that not of yourselves. So he's going to come back to that in the next verse. But we had no part in this. We just receive it. We just claim it. You think about someone giving you a gift, by the way. And that's what we're talking about next. We need to appreciate the gift. Appreciate the gift. You want to align yourself with his definition of you. If you want to really be making progress, we begin by thanking him for his grace. We believe in his salvation, and then we appreciate this gift. And let's think about it being a gift. It says right here in the text, it is the gift of God. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. If someone gives you a gift and you just receive it, the appreciation, the thanks goes to the giver, not the receiver. The focus is on the giver. The only thing we do is just sort of open our hands and receive that gift. So it's a gift. You don't pay for it. You didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's just that. It is a gift. You think about someone giving you a gift, we appreciate that. It sort of humbles us. Why are they giving me this gift? Maybe I don't deserve this gift. If we appreciate the gift and we really focus on salvation being the gift that it is, it will help us with humility. We'll not think that, well, I'm so important. I'm big stuff. I'm big deal. No, I am simply the recipient of his grace and his gift of salvation. It is that. It is simply a gift. It is a gift. And also, it will keep us humble. Look what it says in the next verse. Not of works, lest anyone should boast, verse 9. If we could earn salvation by our good works, then we could boast in ourselves. But the text says, God says, he says to you, it's not of works. He says at the beginning, he says, and not of yourselves. It is a gift. It's an unearned gift, a gift that's received by faith, a gift of grace received by faith. And the sum total of it is a gift. In fact, that phrase where it says it is the gift of God refers back to really the entirety of this passage, beginning in verse 1. All of that stuff, all that salvation is, it's a gift of God to you. It's been given to you. With that in mind, it keeps us humble before the Lord. It's not of works. And make sure you don't get into this mess, okay? Here, get back into this mess. Believing that works, our own efforts, are what saves us. Many people, the majority opinion about how to be right with God is that we need to work if I can earn God's favor. These verses obliterate that. Absolutely wipe it off the screen. It's not of works. And we need to point back people back to God's grace in Jesus Christ. We need to point people back to the reality that it's not of works, it's a gift that is received through faith. By the way, we talked last week about sharing your story with others. These are the components of the story. By the way, if you want to be a good communicator of the gospel, these three verses are key because it shows in a very succinct fashion that it's grace, it's through faith, it's not of works. And then we'll come to the purpose in just a moment. So I want to encourage you to do something. I want to encourage you to commit these three verses to memory. Memorize them. Maybe write them out on a card, carry them around with you, have someone check you, test you. Maybe some of you have already memorized these in years gone by. This would be a good refresher. Can you get all the way through correctly? Can you quote it? Because this is material that you need to have in hand that you can disseminate quickly and easily to somebody who needs to know about Jesus. So your assignment, gave you an assignment last time. Here's your assignment this time. This week, put these verses not just in front of us in the Word of God, that's a good thing, but put them in our mind so that they will remain in our heart so that we are ready to share them as God gives the opportunity. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Now we come to this exciting sort of conclusion. Let me review where we've been, okay? We need to thank Him for His grace that helps align us with His definition of us. Secondly, we need to believe in salvation. It's all through faith. We need to appreciate the gift. And we've talked about that right now. But then fourthly, we need to live as the masterpiece. Live as the masterpiece that you are. And here's verse 10. And by the way, this is sort of the capstone on all this. This is kind of the great stuff we need to look at. For we are, present tense, see it there? We are His workmanship. Workmanship means He has crafted us individually. Just as that potter took the clay and individually, each individual piece was crafted on the spinning wheel. He has crafted us. Every one of us is different. We have a different assemblages of experiences and genetics and gifts and talents and abilities and education and heart and passion and ways of thinking, uniquely made. Now the world tells us, the world tells us, be anything you want to be. At the same time, the world is telling us, you got to fall within these parameters. You want to be successful, you have to have this sort of an income. If you want to be popular, you need to look a certain way and behave a certain way. If you want to attract other people to you, you have to display yourself in a certain way. You know, conformity. I got to be like the star or the celebrity or the guy who wrote the book or the expert. Well, God says we need to align ourselves with His definition. And His definition is just as you are. Now, we're a work in progress. There's still some rough edges. But the core of who you are and what we ultimately will be in Christ when He's finished changing us in this current experience is that we are His workmanship. We are His masterpiece. It really means His created object. And this is a very special word, a very special term. He looks at us as a wonderful creation, a wonderful crafted creation. And there's a pattern He uses. It's not the pattern of the celebrity. It's not the words of the expert. It's not the author who's the expert of that particular thing telling us what we need to be. Here's the pattern. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. The pattern He's using to remake us and remake us internally and spiritually and from God's point of view, already done. In our experience, a work in progress. But the pattern is Jesus Himself, the perfect pattern. Perfect in character, perfect in life, perfect in every way. So we're patterned after. You think about, He's patterning people like us after Christ? That doesn't make any sense. I don't really see it. Come to believe it. And we need to align ourselves with His thinking, and we need now to live this out. As we make choices about how we live, that is aligning ourselves with this definition. As we choose to go forward, I'm going to think of myself not as a piece of junk, not a victim, not entitled. I'm going to look at myself as an object of God's grace and a masterpiece that He's working out. You might say, well, I can't do what she does. So, she can't do what you do because you have a unique place in God's economy, in God's family, in God's house. So He says, I've made you for a special role. We measure things by success and popularity and income and influence. That's a real buzzword in our day. To be an influencer, we think that's important. Maybe what we do is insignificant to everybody else. But if we're doing what God called us and made us and equipped us to do, and he's remaking us into the perfect according to the perfect pattern of Jesus, God sees that as more significant than anything else that the lost world would ever know anything about. So see yourself. And as we choose to think about ourselves, as we choose then to use those gifts, you know, I can't do that, but I can do this. And God's given me this heart, this passion. This is what I do. And the Bible talks much about spiritual gifts. We're going to talk a little bit about that even in this book of Ephesians. But he's given gifts to the church. If everybody had the same gift, there'd be a lot of works left undone. So line your thinking as you live as the masterpiece you are. We're not done with verse 10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Here is the purpose. Here is the end. We do good works in this world to glorify him. Now, get this carefully, okay? We are not saved by good works, all right? We are saved by grace through faith, but we are saved to good works. Sometimes we get those things mixed up. People think, well, I'm saved by my good works, and then I'll do good works. No, we're saved by grace through faith for the purpose that we'll do good works. Unless we're saved, unless we're one of his children, all of our works are worth nothing. We're told in Scripture that without faith, it is impossible to please God. If we don't have faith, if we don't have saving faith that he talks about here by grace through faith, then no matter what we do, it is going to be for naught. It's not really going to matter in this world, and it's not going to matter to him because salvation is all of his work. So, back to verse 10. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. This was his intention all along. Saved by grace through faith for the purpose of doing good works, being his masterpiece in Christ, doing good works, that we should walk in them. If you just kind of substitute the word live for walk there, make that little thinking adjustment, you understand what he's talking about. Because walk in the New Testament is always a metaphor for life and living. Okay? So as we walk progressively, take a step, that's how we live our life. Take a step. So, and that's going to be basically the rest of the book, talking about how we walk, how we live in accordance with these good works that God prepared for us to live. But you understand, all of the practical and all of that living it out in life comes back to this basis that we are saved by grace through faith. And the fact that you are his masterpiece. I'm glad I get to talk to people who are masterpieces of God's creative ability and masterpieces of his grace. And I want to look at myself, not in any boastful way, because there's nothing to boast. It's all in him. It's mind-boggling that God could look at me as a masterpiece. What a mind-boggling truth, and I hope it's mind-boggling to you too. But if we're going to be growing and living and to see ourselves as not as the world tells us, as we tell us, we've told ourselves in the past, but as he sees us, we have to align ourselves with his definition. We do that by thanking him for his grace. Have you thanked him today? We do that by believing in his salvation. Have you believed in him for his salvation? Are you spending time in God's word to grow and deepen your faith? Are you appreciating that gift, living humbly, taking all the boastfulness out? Are you living as the masterpiece that you are, setting my sights that I want to live and serve you? There's many serving opportunities out there, and you know, if you follow and appreciate his gift, you're going to get to that right place. And the rest of this book is going to talk about how we live this out in Christ, and we're going to give you some practical ways to do that. But I hope that you will live today with this joyous realization that you are his masterpiece. If you're not, then you need to come to Christ. If you've come to Christ, you're his masterpiece. May God help you. May God help me. May God help us align ourselves with his definition of us. For you indeed are his masterpiece.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may his blessing be yours.